In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for your prayers. I've been away for 3 weeks. Yesterday was my first day back at the church, and I'm still a little disoriented. In the mornings, I always have to sort of check to make sure I know where I am. I've been in many hotels over the last 3 weeks in New York and Atlanta, and then driving home. But this is the first time that I've had the chance to speak with you, really with anybody, about at least that 1 week's experience in Atlanta, our 18th All-American Council. We gather every 3 years as the Orthodox Church in America to do the holy business of God's work in both overseeing the life of the church and thinking about where we go from here. This was our 18th All-American Council, and it had as its theme how to expand the mission, which sounds very timely. How to expand the mission, timely and timeless. We know that expanding the mission is part of the Great Commission, but it's always worth mentioning that this was the same theme that was picked for the very first All-American Sobor, as they called it back then, in 1907. It was a Sobor, an assembly that was called by then Archbishop Tikhon of North America, later Patriarch Tikhon of Russia, our Saint Tikhon the Confessor. And it was held in Mayfield, Pennsylvania, and that also was the theme. We were reaching back in time to make contact with the very early days of our gatherings together as the church in North America. There were many wonderful conversations, many wonderful meetings. But through it all, there was something like, I would say, a tale of two churches. This is sort of my personal take on this. On the one hand, we heard so many stories in Atlanta of healthy and of growing churches, of the amazing work being done by God through his faithful people. There were places that we learned of where people in faith grew as individuals. They learned to minister to others in love. Places where Christ is changing lives. Brand new parishes starting with just a few families in a few years' time, growing and growing. Property being purchased, buildings being built, new Christians being baptized, new saints being raised up. But then there were stories of a different sort. These were the harder ones to hear. And you hear them when the church gathers and all of the brothers and sisters in Christ come together to share their experiences. A large number of parishes have dwindled to just a few members. It's really hard to hear about this. Many parishes are on the verge of closing. And we know that even in the Deanery of Boston, we've closed one of our own churches in this past year, Chelsea. No priests in some of these parishes, no children, no grandchildren, a few aging faithful members, tremendous clergy burnout, hostilities among the faithful, blaming and shaming, real hard stuff, really tough stories to hear about. And so part of what we were discussing as we gathered is, what's the difference? What makes the difference between one kind of parish and another? Is there a secret? Is there some magical formula that might guide one into the other, that might change and transfigure the old into the new? And through conversations and workshops, we spent time thinking about these questions. And you already know the answer, that there aren't any simple answers. There just aren't any. No straightforward ways to move from one place to another. But over these last few days, as I've been traveling, I had a chance to think about it a little bit, and I have a few thoughts. They are very much related to the gospel reading this morning. I'll begin by pointing out that no matter how healthy, no matter how vibrant a parish may be, whether it's healthy or not, there's one basic, simple truth, regardless of what kind of parish you have. Parish life is hard. It doesn't matter what kind of parish you have. It's always hard. The life of a community of baptized believers in Jesus Christ, that life is hard. There are always storms. The world calls out to us in gales and thunder, just as it calls out to the disciples this morning in that boat. As individuals, we experience hard times. We experience suffering. There is sickness and death in our personal lives. Job loss and insecurity. We face sinful passions and addictions. We sometimes face family strife and broken relationships. Sometimes there's just so much hopelessness. But as a parish, life is hard too, not just as individuals. The bills are never ending, the roof leaks, the parish council doesn't always get along with each other or with the clergy. Maybe we've been around for 114 years, but sometimes it's hard to see whether or not we can survive for another five. No matter what kind of church you have, parish life is always, 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 always hard. Doing the Lord's work, never easy. And this is not surprising, or it shouldn't be, because the evil one does not want us to preach the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ. And so he makes sure that our journey is bumpy and full of upsets and overturns. And so whether our parishes are thriving or whether they are languishing, whether a parish looks outward with the hope and in the hope of sharing the gospel, or whether a parish looks inward and grows smaller and smaller, life is full of falling down. When we follow Jesus Christ, we can expect to fall down. Lots, right? And often. It's never a question of whether we will fall down. It's a question of when and where. As Christians, falling down is part of the job. And so if falling down is part of the job, the first thing we need is to learn the art of falling down. It's something that we need to learn. This is a big idea in Japanese martial arts. For those of you that might know anything about that, I don't really. In judo or jiu-jitsu or aikido, these are the martial arts where you learn to grab somebody and throw them down on the ground, right? We've all seen a little bit of this, even if we haven't done it ourselves. It's all about grabbing someone, somehow tripping them and throwing them to the ground, right? Well, if your goal is to grab me and to throw me to the ground, then the very first thing I need to learn is the art of falling down. I'm going to fall. You are going to trip and to flip me. So what I need is to learn to fall fast and rise quickly. That's the art of falling down. Being a Christian is like this. Life is hard, the seas are stormy, and if our calling is to expand the mission and to preach the gospel to all nations, then we also, as a parish, need to learn that art of falling down. This morning in the reading from St. Matthew, the disciples find themselves in a boat in the middle of a terrible storm. Imagine the ups and the downs, all those pitches and lurches, the crashing and the sloshing. And the critical piece of information is that Jesus is not there. He's not with them. In fact, as dangerous, as it has become in the boat, we learn that Jesus is doing something even more dangerous. Christ is out in the storm walking on the water. So the disciples, they have these two choices. Surviving the bumpy ride will depend on whether they can fall fast and rise quickly. One choice, the logical one, stay in the boat. Stay in the boat. The boat is designed to be safe in a storm, right? Who cares where Jesus is? If I can barely stand because my legs are wobbly and the floor keeps shifting, then I should just trust my industry standards and sit tight. When the weather calms down, then I will think about rejoining Jesus. But there's another choice, right? It's Peter's choice. Peter realizes the safest place to be in a storm, the safest place to be when we are disoriented and knocked off balance, the only place to be is with Christ. If we are going to fall, it is better to fall in the presence of our loving Lord than it is to fall apart from him. No matter how dry and warm and cozy and familiar that place might seem. Peter is the one of the 12 who masters the art of falling. He knows that to fall fast and to rise quickly, you need to take a risk with Jesus, not apart from him. And so he gets out of the boat and he walks on the water and he goes to meet his Lord. And we know what happens next. It's no surprise. Peter takes his eyes off the Lord and he looks at his own feet. Maybe he looks back at the boat and he can hear those disciples saying, "Peter, you're nuts. What are you doing out there? Get back in the boat." In any case, he begins to sink. And Scripture says that when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "Oh, man of little faith, why did you doubt?" Brothers and sisters, the question is not whether we will fall as a parish family. The question is, how will we fall? Holy Scripture this morning tells us that the safest place to be is out there on the stormy waters, walking beside Christ. Jesus is always ready to catch us, just as he caught Peter. He's always ready to take care of us, so long as we are willing to let him do so. Back in the boat, the other disciples, they're there to catch each other. And that's a good thing as far as it goes. But it only goes so far. If the Apostle John trips on a fishing net, who's there to catch him? Right? Maybe his brother James. Maybe Judas, we don't know, right? Who's going to catch him? But not Christ. He's not there in the boat. And that's the point. Christ isn't there to catch him. Our call has always been, from the beginning of the church, to expand the mission. We didn't think this up in this century or last century. And either we will play it safe and trust in the boats that we have built with our own hands, or we will trust in the Lord and we'll get out of the boat and be where Christ is so that he can labor by our side and so that he can catch us when we fall. Orthodox churches enlivened by the gospel of Jesus Christ are places where, no doubt about it, great risks are being taken. Danger is being flirted with. But it's being done so in the name of the love and mercy and forgiveness offered by Jesus Christ through his cross and his church. And this is what all of us are called to do. This is what we are called to do here in Salem on the north shore of Massachusetts. This morning, Jesus calls to you and he calls to me. And he beckons us to his chalice, knowing that we are not worthy, but also knowing that he has set aside a place for us by his side at the banquet table in his kingdom. But he also sends us forth this day as well. It's a beckoning to and ascending forth. We have so much potential here to walk on stormy waters by the side of Christ. We have people here with big hearts, good ideas, faithful lives of prayer and service. But if we choose the safety of our boat, if we choose the safety of life as we've always known it, if we do not dare to look other people in the eye and to say that we welcome you no matter who you are, and boy, do we have something special to share with you, if we do not do that, then we will not be in a place where Jesus can catch us when we fall. We simply will not be where he is, out there, on the stormy waters, bringing life to those who are drowning. Amen.